All right, Monday. Hope everybody's doing good. We are here at the Trump Hotel in Vegas. We walked in. I was looking at the burn marks that are still on the ceiling in the valet area that are right where the truck exploded outside. Pretty eerie, but this hotel is so nice. We're actually in the penthouse suite right now doing the podcast. This place is so awesome. But anyway, hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. All right, let's hop right to this now. Johnny Midnight video. We're going to be diving into the Doge stuff. And you're like, Tom, you're doing this all the time. Well, that's all there is to talk about right now, because Donald Trump is eliminating vast swaths of the DC apparatus, vast swaths of the DC swamp. As we speak, every day, more and more is going away. So we just have to chronicle it. And we have to, I said this in church on Sunday, we have to enjoy this time as we enter into, I think, the last week of the first month of Donald Trump's second term as president. And man, it is a tidal wave. He is really playing whack-a-mole. They cannot keep up with him. And basically, even those of us who are chronicling this and enjoying every last minute of it, this is like you saw in the pregame. I'm just dancing every day, not literally, but figuratively dancing every single day. We need to enjoy every last second of this. And I'm enjoying it right now as I sit in the penthouse suite of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. So it's just so awesome. But it's just, I knew Trump would do great. I knew it was going to go great. But I really didn't think it would be like this. I honestly didn't think it would be. But man, it is far exceeding my expectations. There's opposition out there. There's lawsuits. There's Jamie Raskin and everybody else. But anyway, let's hop right to this. Johnny Midnight video. This is the Government Accountability Office. How many of you even knew there was such a thing as the Government Accountability Office? And look at the size. Did you know that there was a Government Accountability Office that was as big as you're about to see on this video? And it actually employs the Government Accountability Office, which I didn't even know existed until a week ago, that it employs 3,275 people. At the Government Accountability Office, of which we have now seen under Elon Musk and Doge, that there is no government accountability. But there's actually a 3,275 member Government Accountability Office. All right, play for me, Brent.
All right, so today I went for a walk in Washington, D.C., and I just happened to walk past this building, the Government Accountability Office Building, GAO, they call it. This is a department that is essentially supposed to do the things that Doge is doing, that Elon Musk's Doge department is doing. They're supposed to audit various departments in the federal government. They're supposed to stop fraud. They're supposed to stop inefficiencies, that sort of thing. But they're not doing it. And so Doge is doing it. And this is my reaction to stumbling upon this building.
Look how big this building is. Look at this. Look how big this is. Look at that. Look how big that is. That is insane. Look how many offices there are. I don't know how deep this building goes, but that is insane. That office building filled with all of those employees cannot audit anything. They cannot, none of their recommendations are taken seriously. A lot of people think they're protecting corruption in the federal government. And this building is just full of people and they can't do a dang thing. It's shocking.
And by the way, I did go around the corner to see how deep the building goes. It's like 30 windows deep as well. I mean, this building is enormous and they don't do a thing. They don't.
So Aaron, if you are able, I don't know if you can or not, Aaron and I are in different locations today. He's in Northport, Florida, and I'm here in Las Vegas. But if you're able to do a side by side, if you can. So here's the, look at the pure size of the Government Accountability Office as he pans back from this thing. Did anybody even know that this existed? But look at the size of these things. And by the way, about 60 to 80% of the employees for this office actually never show up to work. So you and I, and I'm trying to remember who it was that actually was talking about this. I'm just going to remember. I just watched too many shows to remember all the people that I hear talking. But so, I mean, look at the size of this thing, made out of, like, you know, stone and marble. And I'm sure the inside is beautiful. I mean, and nobody shows up to work. I mean, look how non-busy it is. And you and I, look at the size of this thing. You and I are paying for this. And inside that building is supposed to be 3,275 people. Now we know out of the 3,275 that are supposed to be in there, there's probably about 200 people inside of this building right now. But you and I are paying for it. And now this is absolutely, this is what Doge needs to look into. Why in the world do we have a government accountability office when we're sending hundreds of millions of dollars overseas for trans propaganda? Why do we have a government accountability office? It's now been proven that our government has lost about $2 trillion lost into the wind since about 2003. Why in the world would we even be paying people for government accountability? And again, 3,275 people, you're like, Tom, get past the 3,275. I can't imagine 3,000 people, 275 people for government accountability. That's keeping a government totally and completely unaccountable to the place where $37 trillion in debt. I mean, why in the world do we even have this? And again, let's just go ahead, close this down. I can't wait for the day when they end up with the crane out there and start removing those letters off this building also. Because Donald Trump has basically already shut down USAID. There's injunctions out there, and we'll get into that in a minute. But they're going to lose. The injunctions are going to lose. There's an injunction right now to keep the Treasury Secretary out of the Treasury. There's actually a judge who's willing to sign an injunction keeping the Treasury Secretary out of the Treasury Department. Can you believe that? But that's exactly what's happening. So I'm looking forward to the time when this office, the crane comes out, and Donald Trump starts to remove the letters off of this office, just like he did with USAID. He used to have 14,000 employees. Now it's about 300 and something employees. All right, Brent, let's go on to the next one. Insurrection Barbie video. 30% of the $43 billion we used to rebuild. That's just rebuild Afghanistan. That's not fighting the war in Afghanistan. That's to rebuild Afghanistan. Not to mention the really probably trillions that we spent in Iraq and Afghanistan. This was just to rebuild Afghanistan. 30% of the $43 billion we used to rebuild Afghanistan was lost to waste and fraud. Again, insurrection Barbie video. Play for me, Brent.
Your office was created under President Obama. So, of course, you worked with Obama and Trump under his first term and President Biden. What did you notice?
The major difference was really with the Biden administration, because we had problems with the Biden administration on getting information from the State Department and USAID. I would have to say that they were the worst. I mean, we spent almost a year and a half trying to get information about what we were doing in Afghanistan. And we were doing it not for ourselves, we were doing it because Congress wanted that information. And it's the State Department's position was the worst position I'd ever seen on sharing information with a congressionally mandated request and with an inspector general. So I'd have to say that.
So in other words, Congress makes a request to the Biden State Department. You're like, get beyond Biden. There's no getting beyond Biden. I'm going to show you why in a minute when we get to the Trump section of the show. Right now we're in the Doge section of the show. When we get to the Trump section of the show, I'm going to show you why it is that we can't get beyond Biden, because what they're going to try to do is pull the wool over everybody's eyes and blame the negative things that are happening right now on Trump, like the jobs report that is an absolute abomination coming out of January. We do a Peter St. Ange video in a minute, and we'll get into all those numbers. But they're already trying to blame those things on Trump. And what do they need? Anything and everything, all these spending things. Now, Trump is getting out ahead of it because he's actually closing down a lot of these, closing down these offices, firing a lot of employees. Things are going swimmingly well, but of course, there's a couple different lawsuits. There's a lawsuit to, there's an injunction on Trump no longer spending freeze. And there's also the lawsuit and an injunction against Trump giving all the federal employees the February 6th date to either resign and be paid through September or be fired, all of that, the ultimatum. So there's lots of injunctions going on. There's at least two. But anyway, we need to be making sure that we lump onto the Biden administration that which is their responsibility. So it's right here. You have a mandated subcommittee, and they're simply asking for information coming out of Afghanistan. Where is this money being spent? And they're asking the State Department, of course, that's under Antony Blinken, who is the author of the Hunter Biden laptop hoax. But so they're asking him as head of State Department, Secretary of State, you know, for information about where's this money going in Afghanistan. Now we know right now that we are spending $43 million a week. Don't get confused with $43 billion. $43 million a week that we're sending right now to the Taliban in Afghanistan. Blinken says only 10% of that actually gets into Taliban hands. How would that be possible to track? They're sending it to Afghanistan. So who would be delineating between where the money's going? Who is it that's actually telling people where it's going? Now, hopefully Trump's already put a stop to this. But I mean, you send it to Afghanistan. How would you know where that money's going? How do you know whether it's going to the new PLA, People's Liberation Army, which is a Muslim army, obviously. That was the one that Joe Biden funded and outfitted with $86 billion worth of our high-tech military equipment, making them the 26th largest army on the planet overnight. And that's not a mistake, by the way, because that's all part of a ransom payment, really, to China for all of the Chinese payoffs to Hunter Biden. But I digress. So you have a request here to Antony Blinken's State Department. It takes them a year and a half to even respond to it. And now we're finding out that 30% of the $43 billion we used to rebuild Afghanistan was lost to waste and fraud. And I didn't bring my giant list with me because I need to keep on adding to my list of not only money that was spent in a horrific fashion, but the money that was also lost to waste and fraud. All right, let's go to the next one. Jews Fight Back video. USAID in 2016, get this now, gave $310 million of your taxpayer money to a Palestinian cement factory. Play it for me.
Perhaps the worst expenditure from USAID. USAID in 2016 gave $310 million of your taxpayer money to a Palestinian cement factory project. It was a private venture by a company called Sanad to create cement mills and factories. What do you think they needed all that cement for? What do you think they used all that cement for? I'll give you three guesses. What did the Palestinians in Gaza use all that cement for, paid for by your taxpayer dollars? Any ideas? Oh yeah, that would be the 300 miles of terror tunnels that Hamas built underneath the Gaza Strip, leading to the complete destruction of the Gaza Strip after October 7th. So just slow clap for the geniuses in the permanent bureaucratic state.
So just to read this back to you for just a second, USAID in 2016 gave $310 billion, and again, that's under Barack Hussein Obama. Trump was elected in 2016, but didn't take the presidency until January 20th, 2017. USAID in 2016 gave $310 million of your taxpayer money to a Palestinian cement factory. That's the same as the $50 million that you and I paid for Joe Biden to gave them $50 million worth of condoms. Now, again, that $50 million is not sent over there in boxes of condoms. It's sent over there in cash for condoms. And of course, it's never used for condoms. It's used to buy weaponry to fire on the United States, fire on the United States military, and of course, on the IDF also. So that's really, I mean, just so everybody knows, that's where the money goes. It's not, none of it ever goes to condoms. It's the same thing when you see on a military contract where we played the video here a couple times, where you have the congressman talking to a representative from the Pentagon, and he's saying, how much does this bag of bushings cost? And the bag of bushings would cost you, you know, $25 at Home Depot, and that's expensive. That would be an expensive one. And it was actually, it cost like $800,000, something along those lines. Because that $800,000, obviously, they didn't go in there and buy the bushings for that. They reallocated that money to some other place and probably some other nefarious location. So the same thing happens here where you are, the money is allotted for condoms, $50 million worth of condoms. But of course, it never gets spent on condoms. It gets spent on some other nefarious action, nefarious agenda, or nefarious line items. But anyway, Ben Shapiro is still talking here. What did the Palestinians in Gaza use all that cement for? Paid for by your taxpayer dollars. Any ideas? So yeah, that would be the 300 miles of terror tunnels. So we are actually funding Hamas to kill Americans because you're like, no, they're just killing Jews. No, they're not just killing Jews. There was 30 odd Americans that were killed on 10/7 of 2023, not to mention the hostages that are still there. And of course, the around 1,300 people that were killed and the many, many rapes also that occurred. And then all these, all the Palestinian terrorists like Hamas then disappear into these tunnels, which are not bunker buster proof, but basically artillery proof. That would be the 300 miles of terror tunnels. I wonder why it is that Donald Trump, he said it, I think he said it yesterday when I was traveling. He said it because I pulled up the video. He said that it may even be today that he's talking about buying Gaza. He's actually talking about buying Gaza and leasing out the space. It was being responded to on Fox News by, one of these, kind of establishment military guys. You could tell he's very skeptical of Donald Trump. I love how these guys who have never accomplished anything, have never actually won a foreign war, suddenly are experts. They're strategic experts in everything having to do with warfare or political tactics or whatever. They never win anything, never accomplish anything, but they're experts somehow or another. And the only thing that they're experts on are proliferating the funding of the military industrial complex, because that's who eventually, through USAID money, through CIA money, through the many other coffers that are going. Remember now, all that's been released so far is a little over 1% of it's not even 1% of the government. It's 1% of the expenditures of the government, where the actual money is going. That's all that's even been looked at so far. That's it. So when we really find out where all of these people are getting their money, I want to know why it is that people espouse what they espouse. You're going to have to follow the money trail, because they're going to espouse. It's just like if you give a laboratory $30 million per year and from the federal government, and you know that the federal government wants to push that climate change or CO2 is a problem, then what is that lab going to espouse, that climate or CO2 is a problem? And that's, you give people money, life-changing money. You give Politico, which has now been proven to have received around $34 million, $8 million last year alone. That is life-changing money for people. Obviously, for all of us, for me, for you, everybody, that is life-changing money. So now they're going to espouse the virtues or lack thereof of their benefactors. So 300 miles of cement tunnels under that little strip of land in Gaza. And that's what you and I paid for with our taxpayer dollars. All right, let's go to the next one. WikiLeaks tweet. You have to see this, though. USAID and state funneled nearly $500 million, $500 million through this building, that building that you're looking at right now. Tom, it looks deserted. Yeah, it is deserted. So what were they funneling it through? Not that building. That's what they said. See, this isn't everybody. Everybody doesn't need to be fired. Everybody needs to be fired and arrested and lose their pension. This money was funneled, $500 million was funneled through this building, which is at 876 South State Arcadia, of course, California. The IRS and IN, and IN stands for Internews Network. This is, you can see a little bit on the screen, kind of above that open red door. It's Internews Network. So here we have another pseudo news network being funded by USAID dollars. And again, and everybody knows this, but all the USAID is about is a slush fund for the CIA. And people would say, that it's like, they call it soft power. If it was soft power that actually helped you and I, that actually helped the national security of the United States of America, none of this, they call it soft power. They call it money spent on national security interest, or on the interest of the United States of America. None of it is spent on our interest. None of it is spent on our national security interest. None of it is spent on anything that would benefit you and I. It is spent on enriching Democrats and Rhino Republicans. That is it. And life really is that simple. And it's funneled through places like this. The IRS and IN. So whenever you hear me say IN, that's the Internews Network. The IRS and IN government contracts, why would the IN be getting a government contract? I don't know. List this address as the current current. This is current as of December 2024. It's only February of 2025. And of course, it would, we couldn't have changed anything to this point. So the IRS and IN government contracts list this address as the current register address. That deserted building. Look, this is the reality of our government. You're probably like, Tom, shut up and get to more stories. I know, but it absolutely blows my mind that this is our reality. That you and I, $37 trillion in debt, our government has been wasting not millions, not hundreds of millions, not hundreds of billions, but trillions of our dollars. It's up to, I'm trying to remember exactly what it is, just the $2 trillion that we know they've wasted is $850, not from every family in the United States of America, but every citizen of the United States of America owes $850 just from the $2 trillion they wasted. What is that when it's $37 trillion, which we'll cross into somewhere in the month of February? The IRS and IN government contracts list this address as the current registered address for Internews Network, although it was clearly abandoned by December 2024. Shot taken 4 months ago. So it's an abandoned building. All right, go to the next one for me, Brent. All right, WikiLeaks tweet. IN's funding, again, Internews Network funding, doubled since 2016. $124 million to some sort of news outlet that you and I have never heard of. $124 million. And again, just simplistic explanations as we go along here. This is, of course, the circle bleep symbiote that we always talk about. And like, people are like, how could anybody end up getting this fraudulent, corrupt money? Some people actually get the fraudulent, corrupt money, don't know they're even getting fraudulent, corrupt money. What happens is most do, but some don't. Well, it's simple, but complicated. So what they do is it simply is allocated through USAID to an NGO, which then gives it to another NGO, which gives it to another NGO, gives it to another NGO. And then it ends up paying for things that, not just paying for things, but paying for the salaries and the financial benefits of the originating government agency or the originating politician. Eventually, it circles back to them. That's what symbiote means, circle back, as a circular situation. So that's what ends up happening. So they give... Again, the very simplistic example is Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is given $600 million every year by Democratic Party administration. Donald Trump ended that on day one, 2017, ended it on day one, 2025. But during the 4 years of the Trump administration, $600 million per year of your taxpayer dollars went to slaughter the unborn and Planned Parenthood clinics. But it doesn't just go to that, because how much does it really cost to kill a kid? Not that much. $600 million, not to mention all their private fundraising, but $600 million of our money goes to Planned Parenthood every year. And then in Kerry Lake's Senate race, $100 million, either $150 million, don't hold me that, I will say tens of millions of dollars were given to Ruben Gallego, the one who ran against Kerry Lake to defeat Kerry Lake in the senatorial race in Arizona. Again, so millions of dollars went to Ruben Gallego. Now, how much of that went into Ruben Gallego's pockets? How much of that? Because again, and I know this is redundant for those of you that watch this podcast all the time, but again, what all Ruben Gallego has to do is either after his campaign's over, and they say they got $27 million left, he starts up an organization. He starts up any sort of foundation, and he has his wife run it and then pays her to run it. So now he pays her $5 million a year to run it. As that $27 million earns interest. This is how the world works. This is really, it's not fighting wars and waving the United States of America and singing Fortunate One. It is not that. Wars are started to enrich the people starting the wars. It really is that simple. Trans is all trans, climate change. You look at the climate summits that go on in Davos at the WEF. They're all talking about how great this is for business. That's all that it's about. Is creating a problem and offering a solution that enriches the person espousing the problem. That is what this the world is all about. So you look at Internews Network's funding. Look how much it dramatically increased. Look at that graph from 2011 to 2023. I'm having to work around a camera to look at it. I've got a different setup this afternoon. But anyway, so you look at the $124 million to go into Internews Network. Have any of you ever heard of the Internews Network? I've never heard of the Internews Network. All right, let's go to the next one, Brent. WikiLeaks tweet, executive compensation. So again, see, this is how it works. funnel our money, our taxpayer dollars, to Democratic Party institutions that propagandize for the Democrats, that propagandize against us. We give them our money to destroy us, to propaganda against us, to ban our speech. We give them our money to do those things. And then they pay themselves huge amounts of money. Just like the Government Accountability Office. Believe me, it'll be released by DOGE. I would love to see the list of executive contracts coming out of the Office of Government Accountability. So WikiLeaks tweet, executive compensation, according to INS, again, Internews Network, most recent 990 filing. Usha Chowdhury, $412,000 a year to funnel money. Jeannie Borgalt, $396,000. So basically $400,000 of money, $400,000 worth of salary to illegally funnel our money to various Democratic Party sympathetic organizations or globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist organizations, one and the same. All right, go to the next one for me, Brent. So I just wanted to show you Jeannie's here real quick. There she is right there. Compensation. That's the full list. Screenshot these things. So there's Jeannie. So go to the next one for me, Brent. There's Jeannie. This is Jeannie right here. If you can read, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if those of you can actually read it, but it just, Aaron, if you can, I don't know if you're able to, can you blow that up for me? There you go. Thank you. All right. Jeannie Borgalt is president and CEO of Internews, an international nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering local media worldwide. Borgalt is an expert on the role of information and media in developing conflict and post-conflict in fragile countries. She speaks on issues of global news, information technology, media development, and democracy assistance worldwide. And their funding is now $123 million a year. And that's all that they do is go and set up organizations. That's what the Ukraine war really is about. It's not solely about that. It's about many other things. But it all started with Crimea and basically the globalist leftist bourgeois elite, Mike Benz calls the blob. They did not like how all the truth was coming out about why it is that Russia was taking Crimea, because Russia didn't take Crimea. It was actually annexed. And that's the same thing going on with Donetsk and Luhansk right now, the breakout provinces in Ukraine. They're asking to be annexed into Russia. That's really what's happening. And they didn't like how all of that information was getting out. So they have CIA cutouts, that is Internews Network, going and setting up speech banning or censorship apparatuses all around the world. That's why I'm banned off of Facebook. You're banned off of Facebook. Alex Jones is banned off of YouTube. Joe Rogan was banned off of YouTube. This is all actually USAID, CIA, but that's overly simplistic because there's many other agencies also, like FEMA involved, like the State Department involved, and many others. All right, let's go to the next one. Reason video, Donald Trump is threatening to abolish the Department of Education. Now, what is the Department of Education really all about? Play for me, Brent.
Donald Trump is threatening to abolish the Department of Education. Should you freak out? No, you freak out too much. But mostly, the Department of Education doesn't actually handle education. That's state and local school districts. It doesn't administer the National School Lunch Program. That's the Department of Agriculture. And it doesn't directly handle university accreditation. That's the Illuminati. The Department of Ed is mostly a big Pez dispenser for student loans and Pell Grants, which have done a great job keeping down the price of college tuition. It also monitors civil rights and education. Can't actually prosecute violations of it. It can just withhold federal funds, which are a fractional part of local school budgets. Even if you think public school teachers are super racist, federal laws are still on the books and the Justice Department can handle it. A small portion of the budget does go to special needs grants, which might be good, but don't require a full federal cabinet level to administer. The rest of the Department of Education's budget helps public schools hire administrators to comply with rules created by the Department of Education. Also, you can't legally abolish anything unless Congress gets its shit together. So, no worries there.
So basically what the Department of Education does is it hires administrators to enforce their own rules about funding. So if you don't comply, if you are a school district that refuses to call men women or women men, and under the Biden administration adhere to their new Title IX rules, which is allowing boys or men into women's restrooms, then they take away your funding. So they actually hire administrators so they can go around as rules Nazis and threaten to pull federal dollars, even though the majority of funding for schools is local. Again, it's life-changing money, harkening back to the beginning of the show. It's life-changing money because if you think about it, because all this is really all the, you call it the Washington swamp, the Washington establishment is actually, creating more jobs for more leftists. That's really all that it's about. They don't ever create anything. They don't ever produce anything. They don't ever make anybody's life better, but they actually hold life-changing money over people's heads. Life-changing money that never should have been accepted in the beginning, but it's awfully hard. For the love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10. So it's awfully hard to turn that money down. So if think about it, if you were, in charge of the school system in whatever jurisdiction, and you receive every year life-changing money, just say $30 million from the federal government, then and if you lost it, you would be, run down in all the papers, run out of office, because look, it's, just Joe Smith, the school superintendent lost $30 million of federal funds. But it's never asked why he lost this, because he refused to conform to the absolute Washington, D.C. Idiocy, refused to conform to the transgender ideologies and the various other climate ideologies and everything else. So he lost the $30 million. Well, nobody wants to be that guy that's held accountable for losing $30 million. So they simply comply. It's the same. That's all that COVID was about, is get people to comply. You put rules in place so that people have to comply. And if they don't, they lose all the benefits of life. That's the point. That's the point of the Department of Education. All right, here we are. In the past 48 hours, HHS canceled 62. Now, everyone's going to be blown away, unless you've seen this already, blown away by the bottom line of this tweet. HHS canceled 62 contracts worth $182 million. These contracts were entirely for administrative expenses. We'll stop right there, even though everybody's reading to the bottom and we'll want to get to the bottom right away. Again, these contracts were for administrative expenses. So they have HHS canceled 62 contracts worth $182 million. These contracts were entirely for administrative expenses. So you are hiring administrators to administrate contracts. That's all that our government is about, is hiring people. Again, it's like the Clinton Foundation. Clinton Foundation raises $36 million. They give away $5 million and it costs them $25 million to give away $5 million. That's all this really is about. These contracts were entirely for administrative expenses. None touched any healthcare programs. This included terminating a $168,000 contract. Oh, it's just $168,000 of our money. That's more than I make in a year. This included terminating a $168,000 contract for the Anthony Fauci exhibit at the NIH Museum. There's going to be a museum wing, an Anthony Fauci exhibit at the NIH Museum. Let's break this down for just a minute. How many of you even knew there was an NIH Museum? And then secondly, why is there an NIH Museum? Thirdly, why would anybody ever visit the NIH Museum? And then fourthly, why on earth would Anthony Fauci ever have a wing or an exhibit in the NIH Museum? Why is there a museum to the National Institutes of Health? I mean, what in the world would comprise the contents of the NIH Museum? Why on earth does this even exist? And look at all this money going to it. An Anthony Fauci wing. Anthony Fauci, who has never he started in 1980, retired, 2 years ago? What has this man ever accomplished? He's never cured a disease. He's never stemmed the tide of a disease. He has never made a significant impact on any viral outbreak in his life or any other disease outbreak in his life. All he's ever done is make them worse. If you look at the homosexual community next, how they look at Anthony Fauci as far as AIDS is concerned. And you break down Anthony Fauci and how he dealt with AIDS and how many more people. It's not even how many more people he killed than helped. It's just how many people he killed, because he helped zero. Same thing with COVID. You know, he should have sprinted up to a podium like this right away and said, hey, it's us. We did it. It was an accidental outbreak. Even though we know it wasn't really accidental. In my opinion, it wasn't accidental. We can't say we know it, but in my opinion, it wasn't accidental. So just so you know, the $168,000 contract for the Anthony Fauci exhibit at the NIH Museum has been canceled. All right, let's go to the next one. Wall Street Apes video. New Elon Musk supports Ron Paul leading an audit of the Fed. And in this video here, Jerome Powell just simply admitting that he flooded the system with new currency. And just keep in mind as you watch this video, as you've heard me say 50 or 60 times on this podcast, 44% of the currency currently in circulation was printed under the Biden administration. Play for me, Brent.
Simply flooded the system with money.
Yes, we did. That's another way to think about it. We did.
Where does it come from? Do you just print it?
We print it digitally. So we as a central bank, we have the ability to create money digitally. And we do that by buying treasury bills or bonds or other government guaranteed securities. And that actually increases the money supply. We also print actual currency and we distribute that through the Federal Reserve banks.
So did you flood the system with currency? Yes, we did that. And again, this is another symbiote that you and I aren't part of. The Federal Reserve, and everybody that watches this podcast already knows this, the Federal Reserve is not federal. That's just simply camouflage. It's nothing to do with federal. It's not a government entity. That's why Jerome Powell still has a job, because Donald Trump would have fired him day one. It is just a consortium of international banking. That's all that it is. Giant conglomerate banks. That's all that it is. And they manipulate currency. Just like the CCP. The Chinese, they have a false veneer of financial prosperity. They are a country in recession bordering on depression. They have empty city blocks, empty office buildings everywhere. And then because they manipulate their currency. That's what Jerome Powell does. He flooded the market with currency. And he just simply admits it. I mean, think about it, folks, for oversimplistic diatribe here. But from 1776 to the Biden administration, so January 20th of 2021, we had what we had as far as currency. That currency has been added to by 44% in 4 years. That's why. Right now, eggs have gone up exponentially under Donald Trump. They didn't go up exponentially under Donald Trump. They went up exponentially under Joe Biden. It just, of course, drifted into the first 3 weeks of Donald Trump. Imagine being so devoid of integrity that you would actually, espouse that opinion or espouse that rhetoric or espouse that propaganda that Donald Trump is driving up the price of eggs. That makes absolutely no sense. And here's the weird thing. The only Biden policy that actually drove up the price of eggs was the Federal Reserve's printing of cash, because it's the hyperinflation that drove up, because it's too much cash chasing too few products. That's what drove it up. You increase the amount of currency in circulation by 44%, then things are going to be exponentially more expensive. And Jerome Powell admits to it right here. And that's why Elon Musk supports an audit led by Ron Paul, which would be great, of the Federal Reserve. All right, let's go to the next one. Another one from the disrespected trucker. Explain this to me like I'm 2 years old. Again, I'm continuing to highlight our opposition in all these activities. You have Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, the squad, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, Nancy Pelosi, of course, Chucky Schumer, Jamie Raskin, and all the rest of them out in front of USAID. Notice how that's all faded away, because they're actually lazy people who don't actually want to get out and do anything. They just want to pontificate, from behind their desk or in front of a TV camera on CBS News. But I'm just highlighting our opposition here. Explain this to me in like I'm 2 years old is the title of the video. Ilhan Omar's net worth. Play for me.
I read something today that I thought was super interesting. And I think you might think this is interesting too, especially with all what we're learning about Doge and the U.S. Treasury and USAID and on, right? Did you know that Representative Ilhan Omar, part of the squad, do you know that her net worth is $83 million? And that is on a House of Representatives salary of $175,000 a year. So if she saved every single one of those pennies, of that $175,000 that United States taxpayers pay her to be in Congress, that would be $1.2 million. I want to know how you turn $175,000 a year or $1.2 million over the course of 8 years into $83 million. I want to know how to do that. Now, I don't know what her other three husbands did for a living, and maybe that contributed to some of her income, but that's a little sus. You think that's a little sus? That a congresswoman makes, or her net worth is $83 million after being in office for 8 years? I think it's worth looking into.
Yeah, so for 8 years, she's been making basically $10 million a year. And I would like to know how it is that she receives that money. Again, does it follow the symbiote model? Are you and I paying her that? You're like, Tom, I would never pay. Obviously, I wouldn't either. But are our taxpayer dollars being funneled into NGOs that are being funneled into her campaign coffers, where she paid in her last campaign $3.1 million to her current husband, her non-brother husband, $3.1 million for his consultancy fees? You see how that works? Who was it that gave? See, all we ever look at is campaign donations. And again, you go back to, like, you think about, I'll get back to Ilhan Omar in just a second. And then we're going to look at Samantha Powers, former head of the USAID, fired by Donald Trump, and what her net worth is right after this. But you have to, I don't want to know, you know, like, if you look at Act Blue, you have all this money coming into Act Blue, and you find a lady who's retired and has a set income of $47,000 a year. And she's made in the last 3 years, 3,000 donations of $100 to the DNC through Act Blue. And the FEC, Federal Elections Commission, hasn't even looked into it. How would a woman who's 87 years old on a fixed income of $47,000 a year from Social Security make 1,000 separate donations inside of a year of $100? How does she do that exactly? The FEC hasn't ever looked into this, so we need to look into who is funding the FEC and who's benefiting from the symbiote inside of the FEC. Well, because again, our money goes to NGOs, which then goes to another NGO, which then donates into campaigns or donates into people's organizations. Or are people's organizations the wife of somebody inside of the FEC? The wife of somebody inside of the FBI, the wife of somebody inside of the USAID, somebody's wife is inside of the State Department, whatever it may be. So we need to know. We don't just need to go, okay, Ilhan Omar raised this much in a campaign and $3.1 million went to her non-brother husband. We need to know where that money came from that was donated to the campaign. 1,000 donations from a lady who makes $47,000 a year for $100 over 1 year period of time. You're like, Tom, you're making a hyperbolic example. Actually, I'm making a very non-hyperbolic example, according to OMG James O'Keefe, because he's filmed these things numerous times of Act Blue, again, that which is the Democratic Party fundraiser, the primary Democratic Party fundraiser, where they've gone and knocked on the door of people's houses and said, did you make donations to Act Blue? The person even will say, well, I really haven't voted or supported a candidate. Well, are you a Democrat? Yeah, I'm a Democrat. Have you ever donated to the Democratic Party before? Yeah, I gave a donation back in 1987 of $174. Well, what about this 1,000 donations? And this is not hyperbolic. This is actually a minimized example, because they have examples of somebody giving $5,000 donations in 3 years to Act Blue. How is this not audited before? Because the people who would be in charge of auditing are probably benefiting from it, either directly or indirectly, because they're keeping their jobs, because the people directly benefiting from it are Democrats, and they're Democrat, and the people next tier down are Democrats also. So we need to know who it was that gave the money to Ilhan Omar's campaign, that then she gave $3.1 million to her husband, non-brother husband, for consultancy fees for a guy who knows nothing about elections. But Ilhan Omar's worth $83 million on $174,000 per year. So she's averaged making $10 million per year in the 8 years that she's been in Congress. If she were to have saved her $174,000 per year, every last dime of it, it's $1.2 million that she would have saved. So how's she worth $83 million? These things need to be run down. All right, Brent, let's go to the next one. Mario Nafal video. We'll talk about the particulars afterwards. It's kind of a scrolling video, so pay close attention to the numbers. Ex-USAID chief Samantha Powers' net worth was, when she entered office, $6.7 million, multimillionaire. And that was 3 years ago. Somehow now, 3 years ago, she's also making $10 million a year, roughly. She, $8 million, actually, to be accurate. Now it's worth $30 million. Now her net worth is worth $30 million. Play for me, Brent. She basically has the same ratio as Ilhan Omar. So she's making about $187,000 a year. Ilhan Omar makes $174,000. Imagine making all this money, by the way, but somehow she's managed to increase on top of her salary per year about $8 million per year. Is she on the Nancy Pelosi stock tracker, or how exactly is she making this money? Again, is she funding NGOs that fund another NGO, that fund another NGO that ends up funding her in some way, shape, or form? That if we had more time to look into it, you know, we could probably find out. And this is, and by the way, you can find out because everything is digital now. The Democrats' own policies are now coming back to bite them in the butt, as they want all of our money digitized where they can track all of our, you know, all of our financial transactions. The IRS can track now using AI, which has now recently come out, according to Harriet Hageman and other sources. Congresswoman Harriet Hageman out of Montana, who took Liz Cheney's seat. The IRS is now using AI to track our financial transactions. Anytime you and I make a transaction of over $600, they make a note of it for our own protection. Remember, right out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for when they shall say peace and safety, because they're trying to keep us safe from terrorists, from terrorists, and terrorists make large cash transactions. So they have to track you and I, ex-cop, pastor of a church. They need to know when I make a transaction of over $600 to allegedly keep me safe. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren, not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 3 and 4. But anyway, so I mean, that we need to find out, how does Samantha Powers, how does she make $8 extra million per year as a quote unquote civil servant? I would love to know that, wouldn't you? Well, we can find out. All right, let's go to the next one. Mike Benz tweet. Here's some other little tidbits for everybody. Senators, you've seen Chris Murphy. He is the one, the most upset. I never can remember his name. I put out all the other names that are out there talking. Although I have not seen, I keep saying Rashida Tlaib. I haven't seen Rashida Tlaib, so I should have to take her off the list. I haven't seen her out there at all. AOC. And Iona Presley, I don't even know if AOC's been out there for USAID, but they're always our opposition anyway. But anyway, Senator Chris Murphy, definitely, he's been out there screaming and yelling in front of USAID. Why is that exactly, I wonder? Senator Chris Murphy has been leading the charge to defend USAID. Here, he is listed as the main Hill outreach point of a contract for USAID-funded NED program to destabilize Bangladesh's politics by funding transgender dance festivals and Bangladeshi rap groups. So they're trying to destabilize. Again, if it's for our national interest, like for our, not just our national interest, because destabilization, it couldn't be justified just for our national interest. It would have to be for national security interest. We have no national security threat from Bangladesh, so why are we trying to destabilize them using transgender dance festivals. And again, do you honestly think that Chris Murphy thinks that a man dressed up as a woman is a woman and has every right to be called a woman and deserves to have tampons in her or his man, restroom? Obviously not. He doesn't really believe that. He uses it as a vehicle to usher in his agenda. He doesn't believe in climate change. He uses climate change to usher in his agenda. His agenda is not transgenderism. His agenda is not climate change. He doesn't believe in either one. That's why they're always flying around their private jets espousing the need for you and I to lower our CO2 emissions and kill our food. They don't care about CO2. They use CO2. They use transgenderism to actually usher in their agenda, which is abject totalitarianism. That's what Chris Murphy wants to do. So that this is why Chris Murphy is so upset, because he was the lead, the main Hill outreach point of contact for USAID-funded NED program to destabilize Bangladesh's politics by funding transgender dance festivals. That's what Chris Murphy's all about. You and I are paying for transgender dance festivals in Bangladesh. And again, why? It's got nothing to do with the United States of America. It has to do with globalism. One of the ways to usher in, believe it or not, one of the ways to usher in CBDC, one of the ways to usher in a climate pass, a global pass, again, where whether it's vaccinations or your carbon footprint, where you have a pass, again, leverage you into a one world commerce system with a singular access point to all commerce controlled by people like Chris Murphy, where you are not allowed to participate in society without meeting certain criteria established by Chris Murphy. That's what he wants. That's the only reason why he establishes, that's the only reason why he believes in anything, because he doesn't really believe in the things that he says he does. He just uses those things to usher in the agenda of control, where you have to have a blanket list of check marks, and you have to make sure that you check a certain amount of boxes. Otherwise, you cannot participate in the one world commerce system. That's what COVID was all about. We all saw it. We all saw it, rolling out right before our eyes. We saw it, where you couldn't buy, sell, trade, or travel without a Rive can in Canada, without the Excelsior Pass in NYC, without the green card. These were all vaccine passports. Without your green pass in Israel, without your green pass in China. We saw all this because what it was, you couldn't buy, sell, trade, or travel without your QR-coded mark of the beast on your phone showing that you were fully vaccinated. That's all that these people, again, you know the verses. Revelation 13, 16 and 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's what these people care about. Whether they know that's what they care about or not, doesn't matter. That's what they care about. And all of their pet projects and all their pet passions, all of their alleged world-changing ideas that they want to change the world have nothing to do with what they say it has to do with. It has to do with Revelation 13, 16, 17, getting themselves into totalitarian control of our lives. And that's what he's doing here. That's what he's doing here. They use transgenderism as one of the boxes that you need to check to participate in society. And then they'll have somebody as your overseer to making sure that you are checking the boxes of transgenderism, that you are checking the boxes of DEI, that you are checking the boxes of CO2, of CRT, of environmental social governance, ESG. That's all that it's about, is to leverage you into their control. That's it. So I just wanted to show that. That's why Chris Murphy is so upset. Now, again, which we have to look at in a more simplistic way, a lot of what I just said is more, analogy. But if you look at it in a more simplistic way, what is Chris himself benefiting from when it comes to the funding of this program? That's what we need to find out. What is Chris or his family, his extended family, what is he benefiting from? Because it's a USAID funded to an NGO to fund her transgender dance festivals. Is any of that money circulating back to Chris Murphy? That's the stuff we need to find out. All right, go to the next one for me. Nick Soder tweet. Justin Doge has nuked the woke LGBTQI pages on the Department of Homeland Security's website. This is what you have to do. When they're upset about what you're doing with transgenderism, double down and make it worse. Do more against transgenderism. And as they get upset about that, do more and then double what you're doing against transgenderism. Let me show you why. This is kind of a gross video, but I've got to show it to you because it actually humanizes the demonic things that the Democratic Party are doing. And again, and I don't mean to be overly redundant with this. They don't believe in any of this, but are willing to destroy people's lives for the underlying agenda of it all. And I have to show you this. Libs of TikTok video. This is what Democrats and activist doctors did to young, confused people. Play for me, Brent.
This boy just got top surgery and he's sitting there boobless. I'm sitting here boobless. And I want to tell you about the journey so far. He goes under for surgery. Hours later, they bring me. They say, he's ready. He can see you. I go to the recovery room, and his surgeon is crouched over him, and there's blood just pouring out of his scars. It's disgusting, and they True say, story. We have to take him back in. And I'm like, okay. His right boob wasn't going out without a fight. A blood vessel popped. There was blood everywhere. They had to put him back under and fix it up. Unfortunately, we lost his armpit hair in the process. Only his right armpit. The other one did not get shaved.
Now, of course, those are two women. Those are women. They will never be anything but women. They have uteruses. They have ovaries. They are women. That's it. And they would be, they're God's children. And the Democratic Party, for its nefarious purposes, ushers them into this crazy agenda, and they've lopped off their own breasts and are flipping about it. Flipping about a blood vessel bursting and bleeding out. This is what people like Chris Murphy, you know, this is the end result. Now, he doesn't care because he doesn't believe that those two women are now men. He'll go along with the program. He'll acquiesce. He'll bend the knee. He'll capitulate and say that they are for the underlying narrative, for the underlying agenda, which is to usher you into totalitarian control. He'll go along with it. That's why he's so upset, because how much USAID money went to lopping their breasts off? How much US, and again, USAID is just symbolic of the entire government, entire United States government, because again, that we've only gone over 1% of our expenditures so far, 1%, and that just enveloped USAID. All right, let me show you this. This is great news right here. Johnny Maga tweet. Go to the next one for me, Brett. Johnny Maga tweet. So I just wanted to show you this. This is what I voted for. I agree, Johnny Maga. President Trump revokes security clearances of Letitia James, Anthony Blinken, Alvin Bragg, Jake Sullivan, Norm Eisen, I looked over the camera, Andrew Weissman, collusion hoax, Pitbull, and Lisa Monaco, second in charge of the DOJ under Merrick Garland. So I'm going to concentrate on one of these real quick. As I was talking about this with my son last night and my wife, and I didn't get what they were talking about until later on in the conversation. They're like, man, that's really going to hurt Letitia James. I'm like, why would it hurt Letitia James? She's the AG for the state of New York. But then they both brought up the point, primarily my son. He was like, yeah, but she won't be able to go into these buildings where you have these joint jurisdictional task forces between the state of New York, state troopers, you know, NYPD, and multi-jurisdictional task force between local jurisdictions and the feds, like the FBI, ATF. She won't be able to enter those buildings where they're having briefings in federal buildings. Because remember, as we illustrated on this podcast, how many federal buildings are there in the United States of America? Anybody know? 300,000 of them. 300,000. They own 300,000 buildings. She can't enter any of them. Isn't that great? If a security clearance is required. Isn't that great? So I didn't really get their point until later on in the conversation. This will be a major problem. We're going to have to relocate this meeting because the state AG is not allowed in this building. That's great. Absolutely great. All right. That's it. Appreciate you guys. Really do appreciate each and every one of you. I know it's a different show than normal. Going to do one more from this location tomorrow on Tuesday. between the board meeting I have to be at, a dinner I have to be at. It's great stuff. It's for Jonathan Shuttlesworth, who's one of my two favorite preachers on the planet. My two favorite preachers are Rodney Howard Brown and Jonathan Shuttlesworth. So I'm very honored to be on his board and be in Vegas for that, for the board meeting. It's awesome. But anyway, appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. We're going to try really hard to do a live broadcast from our usual location on Wednesday. There's really no reason why I can't, that I can see that I can't, as long as our flights stay on time. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Stick around for the post game, and I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless you. You are healed. Psalm 103:3. How many of you have a physical infirmity or a sickness? You are healed. Psalm 103:3. Who forgives all your sins and heals all of your diseases. That's the end of it. Anybody who teaches you different is a false teacher, including yourself. If your mind is teaching you different, call out your mind and say, false prophet. But that's not what I've been taught my whole life. I was taught, Tom, to show compassion for the sick. Did Jesus do that? No. Jesus healed the sick. He kicked out the compassionate ones and healed the sick. How much more compassionate can you be than to heal them?
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.